Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumor Show. I am Dan Hartley. Good to see you. I wonder if everybody's been confused because, you know, the last episode we were magically in person again with Arnold, which, by the way, if you haven't listened to or watched the last episode, you definitely should. Lots of like incredible information from the founder and CEO or whatever he calls himself of Mac Rumors, Arnold Kim. What a great episode that was. And then we do have one more episode that we pre-recorded that will come out at some point. But this week is all about, you probably guessed it, WWDC. It's happening in, what, four days? It's in 4 days. And some unexpected, we're going. Let's just rip the Band-Aid right off. We're going. I will actually be there for the first time ever. So excited to attend an Apple event. And we'll be doing a lot of coverage from the event. So, of course, stick around to the YouTube channel, subscribe, follow the podcast, and go read all of Hartley's articles that he's going to be cranking out during the week. Hartley, how many articles do you say you do on WWDC Day?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I lose track, but it could be maybe a dozen.
Oh, jeez. That's a lot of writing.
So... That's not so much the bad thing. The hard thing is just keeping up with it and the pace, especially with these pre-recorded events now, because you just don't get time to breathe.
So, well, lucky for you, the rumor is that this is going to be one of the largest WWDC events ever and possibly the longest. Now, if we read into things, if you add WWDC to your calendar, you can do that by just going to the website. It does like block off your calendar for 2 hours. And it's pre-recorded.
But it always does that.
It does, yes.
It always does 2 hours.
Well, you would think they would know, like, the time if it's pre-recorded, which
I think they don't. I think they don't want to give it away because they don't want you to know during the event what is about to come. Because, for example, with the headset that we are really heavily expecting at this point, I think everyone would be shocked if it didn't come. If that was, like, a one more thing at the end of the event, you could then watch the clock and think, I know they've got half an hour left, so they've still got time for the headset. And I think Apple enjoys that sort of continued momentum and continued excitement through the event, not knowing exactly how long it is. That's why it is kind of fun as we are watching, thinking, is it wrapping up now? Is this the last topic? Over 2 hours this year. Last year was an hour and 50 minutes, and we're looking at 2 hours plus this year, so... there's definitely a lot for them to get into. I'm surprised that they're going to be able to fit this much in.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot happening. So we're obviously expecting the headset. That has been the talk. By the way, there are some people that comment on YouTube channel, on our YouTube channel, on the videos, I think maybe on our podcast, that like they don't expect the headset to happen. And I'm just kind of like, I think...
There is still... skepticism about it, but I think this always happened when Apple is about to get into a new product category. It's not really in my memory, but it's a little bit before my time. But people said that about the iPhone. People said, Apple's never going to make a phone. And there was perhaps less skepticism around the Apple Watch because you can see that fitting in a little bit more clearly with Apple's ecosystem. But with a headset, I think some people just have a hard time imagining, especially when all you see are Meta's headsets. You think that's not Apple, and some people just have a hard time imagining it. I mean, I think they're wrong. I think at this point, if it wasn't coming, Apple would have dampened expectations. They usually do. They have channels through which they are able to set expectations and convey things. And let's be serious. Apple yesterday was tweeting about, quote unquote, the start of a new era and coding new worlds.
I mean, they're really leading. And like, you know, we do this every year for every event, but like looking at the event invites and some of the imagery that's going around, like, you know, I don't know what it could mean, but like it's definitely a very 3D looking Apple logo that's like an amorphic blob that's going around. I mean, it just seems like something that would like look pretty cool in VR probably. And so I don't know.
Well, it's playing with light, isn't it? That's what the invite is. It's sort of iridescent bubbles.
Yeah.
And it's that sort of rainbow effect that takes place when light passes through glass. It's that effect, particularly on sort of curved surfaces, and the way that color reflects and those sort of iridescent effect. That, I mean, people are reading into it, but yeah, it does seem like something relates to lenses or glasses. And just the language Apple's using is just ramping up. So I think it's got to come. It has to come now. And no one is saying it isn't. Usually, before events, when there isn't going to be something, I've written in, I think, almost every previous WWDC that I have covered, I have written an article in the previous week saying, this item or this product is not coming at WWDC, because someone like Mark Gurman has said, we're now not expecting that. There has been nothing this time from anywhere. Everyone is saying that the headset is still on track. The headset is coming. Every indication we have suggesting that that's the case. So yeah, I think Apple's also happy to play into the excitement.
I mean, also how many, I think last week when the first batch of invites went out for press, like all of a sudden random, like very focused on VR outlets are getting invited for the first time.
It's hard to say. I mean, they are, but then you never know, because Apple spends a lot of time on AR and ARKit every year.
Sure.
So it's a good point. But I don't know if that's the most convincing thing to me. I'm just so convinced that when Mark Gurman has been saying for months, it is nailed down for WWDC. I believe him and the others, you know, Ming-Chi Kuo, the best sources in the business, really.
We're filming this on the Thursday before WWDC, and right before we jumped on here, Meta Quest 3 was just announced 4 months earlier with a $500 price tag. Do you think that's a coincidence?
No, I don't think anything at the moment is a coincidence. You know, things are coming out on all sides at this point, whether it's from Meta, whether it's from developers of VR games. And there seems to have been some hints from the makers of No Man's Sky, who today released No Man's Sky for Mac, which has been waited for a very long time. But No Man's Sky is also a very big game on VR platforms, on PSVR. And today, the founder of that games developer said that there's another surprise coming very soon, and it is related to Apple. So, you know, it's all these hints are going from everywhere.
Can't imagine that was a good idea. Hey guys, just want to take a quick minute to let you know that this episode of the Mac Rumor Show is sponsored by Masterclass. Some of you might not know this, but before I was making these videos and talking about Apple every day, I used to be in a band that did a ton of shows around the country, and I was playing guitar constantly. But unfortunately, those days are well behind me, and my skills have diminished quite a bit. So I decided to brush up on those skills and try to learn some new ones, and I did this all with the help of Masterclass. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Annual memberships start at $10 a month, and you get unlimited access to every instructor, thousands of online lessons, exclusive content, insights, and so much more. There are over 180 classes to pick from, everything from learning guitar with Tom Morello to cooking with Gordon Ramsay. Or if you want to review tech and become a YouTuber, well, why not learn from the very best, like Marques Brownlee, aka MKBHD. I also am really into coffee and have been wanting to make better espressos and cappuccinos and lattes and all of that. And there's an incredibly quick coffee class that taught me so much about different grinders and how to steam the milk properly for an amazing cappuccino. You can gain new skills in as little as 10 minutes, either on your phone, computer, tablet, smart TV, and even in audio mode to listen on the go, which is one of my personal favorite ways of consuming all of these classes, audio form in my car on the way to work. So how much would it cost to take one-on-one classes from the world's best? Well, with a Masterclass annual membership, it would only cost you $10 a month. Get unlimited access to every class, and right now, as a Mac Rumor Show listener, you can get 15% off when you go to masterclass.com/Mac. That's masterclass.com/Mac for 15% off an annual membership. Masterclass.com/Mac.
I think that's the thing, is Apple kind of, at this point, they are not trying to reset expectations. They clearly are giving people the bandwidth to be able to get excited. So that would suggest, but that would suggest that there is something to be excited about. Because normally I think, I feel like they do reset expectations because they do have these little people that speak to people like John Gruber, who we've had on the podcast, who will say, I've been talking to someone at Apple. I'm not sure that's coming. And we hear that just very vaguely, but no one is saying that about the headset.
Yeah. So, I mean, we can't guarantee anything. You know, we are reporting from the sources that talk about all this stuff, but it seems very likely that this is what's going to happen. And so do you want to jump into what we can expect for the Reality Pro? Are we still convinced that's the name?
I don't know if we would say convinced, but this is the name that has been floated the most often. And it would seem to make sense in terms of how Apple is arranging this product line going forwards, because in the second generation, we're expecting a entry-level variant of this headset at a lower price point. So it would make sense for this to be a quote-unquote pro device. And especially at the price point that we're expecting of around $3,000, that is a pro device that Apple can market to a productivity audience. So Reality Pro, yeah, it seems to make sense to me. It's the best, it's the most convincing name that I've heard, at least. The same goes for XROS being the operating system. Apple's filed a bunch of trademarks, but this, according to Mark Gurman, is the one that Apple has settled on at this point. That's the new platform we're looking at.
Yeah, so I did a video on that recently. XROS. So how do you feel about the name XROS? Because I there's some other names out there that, I don't know, Reality OS makes the most sense if it's called Reality Pro. Some said Vision OS, and I was like, oh yeah, wasn't Apple Vision another, like, I don't know if I necessarily enjoy that name for the headset, but if that was the name for the headset, then Vision OS would make plenty of sense. I personally lean behind Reality OS, but I mean, I can, XR makes sense. Yeah. They've used XR before, although that stood for 10R, so I wonder if there's going to be any confusion there.
Well, this would be for extended reality. So I think that's how Apple is actually going to be phrasing this, because, of course, long term, they want to get this into an AR glasses based product. So they want, in the same way that Apple tends to prefer to phrase things around machine learning instead of AI, I think that we will see Apple leaning into the phrasing extended reality rather than VR and AR. I think Apple wants to disassociate itself from companies that heavily discuss VR. They want you to believe this is bigger, it's more impressive, it's extended reality. So that's why we're looking at XR, I believe. But no, I don't really like the name. It doesn't roll off the tongue very well. XROS. It doesn't sound as clean as macOS, iOS, even iPadOS. XROS, it just doesn't sound nice to me. I prefer ROS, I prefer Reality OS, but I guess XROS does kind of fit in with Apple's other naming principles at this point.
So, all right. We've seen, like, I don't know, Ian's elbow has created the most infamous mock-up of all time where it's just been used and used. And it could end up looking exactly like that, or it could end up looking nothing like that. Then we've had Marcus Kane on, and he had some really cool, like, in-depth renders based off of all the schematics and stuff. And it could look just like that, or it could look nothing like that. What are you expecting this thing to look like? And do you want it to leak? I don't. And I know that Arnold's probably cringing, like, wait, what? Dude, where do you work? Like, I want nothing. I want to be going into this blind. I know we have some, you know, and it could look just, again, like the renders, but if it doesn't, how cool would that be if we, like, didn't actually get a fully leaked product before?
And how impressive as well that definitely hasn't actually happened. I seem to remember with the Apple Watch, there was only one render that leaked on the morning of the event where it was unveiled. But other than that, there was nothing. So it would seem, so far at least, that the design is going to be kept under wraps visually. The other side is we've had it very sort of descriptively explained. So yesterday there was a report from the information from Wayne Maher, the information, who has done a lot of very detailed reports into this headset and broke down what to expect from the design. So we are expecting something that is very thin. Something that does not look like competitor headsets that are very bulky, because of course there's no battery inside the headset. That's why also you won't be able to wear glasses inside the headset. You will need magnetic clip-on prescription lenses that you put inside, because it's just that thin. We're expecting it to be about the thickness of an iPhone, and to have glass that extends over the front with an aluminium chassis, and the whole thing is curved. And this is that the design is apparently the most challenging design that Apple has ever had to manufacture, because every component inside, like the motherboard, also needs to be curved. And because it's so compact, the tolerances inside it are far tighter than they are with any other product. So it is apparently quite a sort of feat of engineering. We're expecting there to be a button on the left-hand side on the top, and on the right-hand side, we're expecting
Just figuring this out as you go along.
And then there would be a quote-unquote reality dial, a little bit like the digital crown on the right side, there on the top. And the rest would be glass over the front, and that glass conceals about a dozen cameras, LiDAR scanners, that sort of thing. It connects with an Apple Watch style charger on the left temple, and the temples are kind of hard, but then there is a headband that is made of a soft fabric, and obviously there is some sort of removable soft piece that actually contacts your face. So we do have a fairly good idea of what to expect from the design, but it should be quite breathtaking from what we're hearing, just in terms of it doesn't look like anything else that is currently on the market.
Do you know how excited I am to watch something on 2 4K micro OLED displays with 5,000 nits of peak HDR brightness? That, first off, seems like it's going to burn my retinas, but also in like the most crispy way ever, and like everything's just going to look so good. I mean, it just sounds like everything's going to look incredible. Like, what, I don't know off the top of my head what MetaQuest like pixel density is, but this has to be blowing it out of the water. I think the pixel density for this headset is rumored to be about 4,000 PPI, which is just absolutely insane. Like, think about a traditional smartphone. Like, back in the day, we were thinking like 900 PPI, or not 900. I don't even remember the actual, like, 400 or 500 PPI is like pretty good for a display like that.
Yeah.
Thinking like 4,000.
I think it will definitely be a sort of class leader in terms of the display capabilities. I mean, let's not forget, these components are actually supposed to be the single most expensive components in the device, to the extent that normally when Apple has quality issues with a specific component, like say there's an iPhone display, they just discard it if it doesn't meet their standards. But these displays are so intricate and are so expensive that Apple is actually having to repair the defective ones. Because they just can't get Sony to manufacture enough of them. So when we're hearing about why maybe Apple isn't going to be shipping so many of these, and we're hearing about this high price tag, the displays are a key part of that, because Sony can't provide enough of them. It looks like Sony may only be able to provide about enough displays for about 250,000 headsets a year, which is really not very many, because of course you need two for each headset. So very expensive displays. We've never had an Apple display that's using micro OLED technology either. So it should be something very interesting to see.
I mean, I can't even imagine what it would look like. I can't wait to see it in person. Hopefully we're not waiting for a super long time. But and by the way, I looked it up. Like, a traditional iPhone is anywhere from like 320 to upper 400s in PPI. So think about your iPhone 14 Pro having roughly a 460, pixel density. That's the compact, like the way it's just your pixels per inch. So it's hard to explain, but just think of that in terms of like a measuring stick. And we all think that a iPhone 14 Pro display looks pretty good, right? I would imagine no one's complaining about it. Looks very bright, very crisp. 4,000 in your eyes just seems insane. Like, I can't even fathom what that would look like. So I'm excited.
And it's got to sell that experience as well. That's what you need to be able to provide pass-through video as well, which is what these external cameras are partially used for, and to deliver that extended reality experience. But if you're looking at it and it's very pixelated, as it can be, I don't know if you've used the first generation, say, the PSVR.
Right.
That it does not look convincing because you can see the pixels. So if the headset, Apple's headset, does have such a high pixel density that you can barely see it, where it's like retina quality, as Apple would phrase it, then you are able to sell the whole experience in a completely different way, and it would make it just so much more immersive.
And I genuinely think that's why I'm kind of so down about VR, is because when I put it on, it does look kind of like, this isn't a very good viewing experience. And like MetaQuest 2 is not bad. That's the most recent like one that I've used. But I just looked up the PPI for that. It's 773. So, I mean, this is just going to be like, I can't even imagine what, nearly six times better than that. I can't even fathom that.
So. Yeah, and it should have all the qualities of micro OLED as well. So we'll get these deep blacks, fast response times. There's so many advantages to micro OLED. I mean, obviously the main one, as far as Apple is concerned, is just how small these displays can be to facilitate this design, which should be surprisingly thin. There's so much to unpack with this device because it's a whole new product line. We're talking about whole new methods of charging and storage and accessories and battery packs, and then we've got the whole OS, so there's really no end to how far we can discuss this. And that's why it will be interesting to see how much is Apple going to discuss it, because the headset is not going to be on sale 2 weeks later. It's not even in mass production yet, as far as we know. So we believe it's going to ship in the fall. So how much are they going to give us now, and then presumably later in the year they will give us more, a little bit like with the Apple Watch. So I believe when they unveiled the Apple Watch, we got, I think it was a 15 or 20 minute introductory video, and then there was hands-on for members of the press. So there was sort of first impressions about it, but all we knew was its starting price, I believe, and we knew that it was coming in the fall, and we didn't know very much else. There was limited information available for developers to start working on apps, but it was all quite vague. And then it was only the following April, which was nearly 6 months later, that Apple actually disclosed specific price points, exactly how everything would be positioned. And then, of course, the watch did finally come out. So we will probably see something similar, where we're not going to get everything at WWDC. I think price is one of the things we probably won't get. And if we do, we'll only get a starting at price.
How long do you think they'll spend on it? Let's just say, for the sake of math, this event is 3 hours long. Of that 3 hours, do you think an hour?
3 hours. I think I would say minimum 20 minutes, but I would be surprised if they give it more than 30 minutes? Or 40.
Okay, yeah. Well, then this event's not going to be 3 hours. If it's slated for 2 hours, maybe 220 tops, maybe they spend an extra 20 minutes then?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good estimate. And let's not forget that things like iOS 16 are supposed to be slightly more lightweight than most years. So Apple can definitely speed through and cut out a bit of the filler with some of these OSs.
You mean 17?
Oh, yeah, iOS 17. Yes. So
I hope we don't talk about iOS 16 again.
No, iOS 16 is old news now. But iOS 17, yeah, and iPadOS 17, macOS 14, these things are supposed to be a little bit more limited than normal. I mean, macOS has been really small for years, and they could definitely cut back how much they're talking about these things. So maybe it won't be too much over what we expect.
Well, we spent about 20 minutes on it. I think we should save that and talk about the rest of the stuff, because I'm guessing when we do our podcast next week, we'll probably be talking more about the headset, because that's just going to be big news. So let's not overdo it, and let's move on to... Do you want to talk about the other hardware that could be possible real quick? Just a quick brief touch.
Right, yeah. So we're expecting a couple of new Macs. The one that seems to be really pinned down is the 15-inch MacBook Air. Yes. This will be a machine that is almost exactly the same as the 13-inch MacBook Air. So it will have the M2 chip. It will have exactly the same design, but just offered in a new 15-inch variant, which I think a lot of people will be really interested in. It's not going to steal the show, but it's just a nice to have, I guess.
I'm praying that I can buy this immediately, because I just can't wait. It's my favorite Mac right now, and same with the 14-inch MacBook Pro. I think those are like 1A, 1B in terms of like they do different things. So it's hard for me to say which one's better than the other. But I just think it's such a good machine that just a little bit bigger would really, I know that sounds crazy, but it really would put it over the top for me.
And of course you get a battery life boost from that as well.
Yeah. I mean, and that's crazy because the battery life is already so good that I just can't even imagine. I'm looking forward to that. And hopefully, I don't know, do you think there's not going to be any new color changes? It's going to be midnight, space gray, starlight, right?
Yeah, I mean, probably, but it wouldn't surprise me if to spice things up a little bit and get the 15-inch MacBook Air in some more headlines, there was another color option. But there's been no, that's just speculation, but yeah.
What do you think
imagine
it would
be? If there was a product red. If there was a product red, then it would steal the show, wouldn't it?
Oh, well, I don't know about steal the show.
And you are going to start stealing the show.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice.
I think it would. And if there isn't a new color option and it is literally just in every way the same as the 13-inch, then I think people are going to just forget that this machine really exists in a month's time.
Sure, until the reviews come out. But yeah. What about the other potential Macs? Because Garmin just recently said several new Macs, which we were really only for a while, for a majority of the time, only expecting that 15-inch MacBook Air. But now...
Yeah. So there's a few things on that, which is, first of all, I think that when Mark describes several models, usually he is referring to actual SKUs. So he could be referring to two different 15-inch MacBook Air models rather than wholly separate Macs. But the other one that now seems to sort of be taking shape is a refreshed Mac Studio with the M2 Max and the M2 Ultra, which has yet to be announced. But of course, the thing with the M2 Ultra is it's just two M2 Max chips glued together, effectively. So we've had the M2 Max for 6 months at this point. So yeah, the hardware is there. The Mac Studio is the only machine left now with the M1 Max. It's slightly older technology. It's in need of a refresh. It seems like that's the other one that will be coming. Mac Pro doesn't seem ready yet, or at least that's what Mark Garmin told us when he was asked with us.
I was hoping that it would maybe be another Mac Studio. Do you think at this point, the Mac Pro. Do you think at this point, like we're kind of bordering territory where the Mac Pro is either a M3 or bust? Like if it doesn't happen when the M3 comes out, it's just probably not going to happen.
Well, to go back to what Mark said, he said it would be this year. So the end of this year, we are expecting M3. Maybe that's when its time will be, that Apple announces it around October and says shipping by the end of the year. And it can get a bit more time, because if this is something special, if this really is the crowning glory of the Mac lineup, and it is something wholly new, because this is a completely different kind of machine, if it does indeed have PCIe slots, and yet it's Apple Silicon, it's upgradable Apple Silicon, it is something completely new, and it needs to feel different to a Mac Studio. To me, it does make sense to give that machine a little bit more limelight. There's so much going on at WWDC. If it isn't ready yet, I think Apple isn't too worried about keeping people happy with the Mac Studio refresh for now and save Mac Pro for another day, again, another year. Feels like we've been saying that forever.
So when you talked about that No Man's Sky thing that came out today, the release about the Mac, there was like a little video that I saw on Twitter, and it looked like it was kind of from the keynote, like the style and everything. They showed a Mac Studio being, do you think that has potential to be a base? I mean, it looks the same, it's going to look the same, but like the fact that they showed a Mac Studio, and they did show a MacBook Pro, but they showed it a lot with the Mac Studio. Do you think that that could be kind of a hint towards it, or am I just reading too much into it?
I think maybe that is reading too much into it, because of course the Mac Studio is still the most powerful Mac you can currently buy. With the M1 Ultra, the M1 Ultra is still infinitely more powerful in terms of gaming and GPU, because it has twice the number of GPU cores as the M2 Max. So there's that. But also last year, No Man's Sky did get time at WWDC. That's when they showed it running on the M1 chip. it was, even though they were announcing M2, they showed it off on M1. So if No Man's Sky does get stage time this year, it will get stage time, in my opinion, for the headset, or it won't get stage time at all.
All right. Well, speaking of what's not going to get stage time at all, let's just knock this out of the park real quick. I'm guessing tvOS and HomePod OS aren't going to get any stage time. So we'll probably, I don't know, is there any, do you even have any? I don't have anything on that. So, I mean, does anyone know anything that could be coming? Some like HomeKit improvements?
We haven't heard any specific rumors about that, but it wouldn't surprise me, because they, I don't think it was last year, but the year before, they did do tvOS, but they did it really quickly. And they did refer to the HomePod. They went to that house that they've got, that house set. And so they can do 2 minutes and just say, this new feature is coming to the HomePod, this new feature is coming to Apple TV, and then just move on. But given the amount that they're supposed to announce, maybe not. They didn't last year, so I just don't think anyone cares about tvOS anymore, which is a shame, because I actually do care about it. Kind of the problem with tvOS.
What if they completely surprise us and it's like, here's an entirely new operating system for tvOS? Remember when we did that wish list and I said I want a whole new visual re-experience? Yeah. And everything? That would be cool. I'd be pretty excited for that, honestly. Yeah. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I would be as well.
Yeah.
It's got to happen eventually, right? Eventually, one WWDC, we are going to be talking about tvOS as the main highlight.
That's going to be its day, and I'm championing for it. I just cannot wait.
Yeah.
I'm going to become a big tvOS super fan. But yeah, what we are expecting some major features and upgrades for, really watchOS 10, and then iOS 17 and iPadOS 17 might not be a major, major upgrade, but there are apparently some like nice to have, most requested features. So let's start with, we'll start with iOS 17 and iPadOS 17. We can kind of lump those two together. What's the thing that you're looking forward to the most? I think one of the things, so we're looking at what? Quality of life improvements, the whole revamped control center, potentially some information on side loading, though I doubt Apple will mention that. And that's probably going to be specifically for Europe, right?
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to get stage time.
Doubt it.
But we are expecting some more health and fitness features, things like mood tracking. We're expecting that to lean into a new journaling app. But the thing that I'm most excited for is one of the most recent rumors about iOS 17, which is the idea of it serving as a kind of always-on smart home display, which sounds intriguing. So is this like, it's kind of like nightstand mode on the Apple Watch meets always-on on the iPhone 14 Pro and widgets, something like that.
Here's the thing, and so this is recent, and I haven't had a whole like, lot of time to dive into that too much, but I know the basics, but mostly just compatibility. Is this going to be available on an iPad? Because that is where it really would shine the most. Why?
I think it's going to be exclusive because it needs always on.
True.
That's the thing. And also there has been a rumor for quite some months now, which I always thought was a bit strange about, the iPhone 17, the standard iPhone 17, getting ProMotion and presumably always on. And I thought that's a bit strange to give that display to the standard iPhone. Well, I guess now it makes sense.
Yeah, I guess I forgot about the whole always on importance there. So yeah, never mind. But maybe we'll get something like that.
Well, OLED iPad Pro.
Right.
OLED iPad Pro is expected next year. So with that change of display technology, maybe we finally do get always on the iPad. Usually when Apple debuts these features at WWDC, there is usually some upcoming hardware product that can take more advantage of it. That almost always seems to be the case with something that happens every year, pretty much.
So that'd be pretty cool. You just dock it on your nightstand. That's going to really bump up the third party sales for like the Belkin dock, the MagSafe one.
Well, even on your desk, if you imagine to have, say, your calendar always displayed on a nice, not just a tiny widget, but something that is a full screen optimized experience for that very specific implementation, even just to be able to see the clock in a say, a horizontal view of the iPhone. And you can bet that there's going to be some new Belkin third-party accessories that they show off to go along with this mode. So yeah, that's the thing I'm currently most excited about. I am also really big on journaling, so I'm excited to see this journaling app. I'm always interested to see the improvements to the health app and just sort of generally just sort of touching up the OS. But yeah, I think iOS 17 seems to be shaping up to be a pretty good update. I'm excited for it.
I absolutely love the fact that I can now download all of these betas so quickly on all of my machines. And then if it ends up being terrible in terms of like bugs and everything, which is going to happen, it's a beta. But like if it's not working out for me in terms of I could just immediately switch back with ease. That's probably one of the most underrated for people like us, the most underrated updates that Apple's ever given. It's like, oh, hey, you can just easily download you don't have to install a profile. And if you want to go back, it's no longer an incredible hassle. It's just super easy. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited for the revamped control center. I think that needs some work. So looking forward to that. I'm interested to see this whole, like, the journaling app that you were talking about. I don't particularly do that, but I'm curious because there's been some rumors about, like, it being, like, a location-based thing where if other users are near you, it can kind of, like I don't know how that's going to work, but, like, tell you that you were around these people, per se. Just kind of curious what that even means, and like if they can elaborate more on that, that would be kind of interesting to see. Like, does it become like a social network, basically? I don't know.
Well, we are expecting more features for Find My as well, so presumably that plays into that. There seems to be a lot of connection between these different rumors, so we are expecting new Find My features, and we are also expecting that to have something to do with journaling. We're expecting the journaling app to have something to do with mood tracking. We're expecting mood tracking to have something to do with the health app, and we're expecting the health app to get some sort of redesign. So it all kind of seems to be part of one story, at least, which I guess makes it for a nice presentation at WWDC.
CarPlay? Are we going to see a little bit more about CarPlay? I know they hinted it last year, and that was that was one of my biggest things last year. Was like, whoa, go back to the CarPlay. I want to see more about that. That looks cool. And they were just like, nope, that'll be next year.
The thing is with CarPlay is that there are all of these developer tools with CarPlay that automakers are able to take advantage of, but no automaker actually does take advantage of them all, because they are able to do things like put Apple Maps in the instrument cluster. They're able to project all sorts of information like music and calls. But
why we're not getting that is
so heavily restricted.
Yeah.
Well, it's because automakers want you to use their services, because they know long term they can sell you those services. They can sell you digital subscriptions. That's why BMW are never going to let you have the next generation CarPlay experience. And the automakers that do are going to be very cautious about doing so. So I think what we will see this year at WWDC will be maybe we get a demo of that next generation CarPlay experience actually in a pre-production vehicle, and they say, here is a vehicle that is coming with that feature. A little bit like the, I don't remember what it was, maybe it was the BMW 5 series or 3 series a few years ago, and they were showing off the ultra wideband unlocking of the doors, and they actually had the vehicle there. They showed it off and they said this vehicle is coming out later this year. So it would make sense, because what else can they do? Last year they showed a still image of it and said something like this is coming, and provided a bit of information about what it will do. You know, it shows
someone's going to offer that.
Yeah. And they did announce some automakers that will. So they announced that Jaguar Land Rover will. They announced that Mercedes-Benz will. It's a fairly short list. Porsche as well. So
all the cars within my price point. Yeah, nice.
There were some others. There were others. There's got to be like a dozen.
Could I get like a Kia Soul or something?
I don't remember. Maybe Kia was on there. I don't remember the whole list of them. Those are just the ones that kind of stand out in my memory. I would be really interested to see a demo of that. And yeah, it's gonna pretty much decide what car I'm gonna buy next, at least. So
I think I'm just going to have
what I'm saving up for.
I think I'm just going to need to have Arne buy me a Porsche. I mean,
it's just Yeah, and me as well. You know, I think I think I need that for important review purposes.
For sure. I mean, yeah, this is our plea right now. If you're listening, Aaron, we both need one, so that we can talk about it at more depth for the podcast. It's very important.
Yes, absolutely, no, but essential.
But seriously, my car is up next year. I know we talked about this in the last episode when we had Ben Sullins and we talked about Tesla and kind of the EV shape. Like, if I don't stick with Tesla, which is very possible, I might. I do want to try something else. It's going to be predicated upon who's going to offer this, honestly, because I would really like to, if there's an affordable car maker that can do that, I would really like that experience. But, you know, who knows? I think it's, well, I don't know. Go ahead.
It looks like with the news today, that Polestar, as it stands today, looks like a good bet, because you are effectively getting a Model 3 competitor, but you are getting a heavily integrated Apple CarPlay experience.
And so that's good news for them.
It doesn't have it's still wired CarPlay, and they don't have EV routing, which is a shame, but it could get some of those additional software features. But it does look very nice because, of course, it's got this vertical display, and CarPlay really takes advantage of it. And to get it in the instrument cluster as well, Apple Maps, it looks great.
And that was the car that I was actually looking at, was the Polestar 2. And that's what they just released it for. So, like, that was one of the ones on the list, because it's not terribly expensive to lease or buy. But, you know, who knows? It just kind of depends. Everything's so expensive these days that it's just hard to, like, commit to anything right now. And I don't know. We'll see. But, yeah, that's what I'm mostly excited about. iOS 17, I don't know. I mean, do you think we'll see more lock screen customization options? I think that was rumored pretty heavily, that there could be some
things. Yes, we're expecting some more widgets, maybe something like a live lyrics widget for Apple Music.
I guess so.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to see enhancements across every app, right?
Yeah.
And this is going to trickle through to iPadOS. And crucially, I think also this year, more so than normal, will be macOS. I don't think we're going to see much from macOS. We've had virtually no rumors about macOS 14.
So we never really do. New
will be things. We never really do, but I feel like this year, especially also given their time constraint, we will just see things like the journaling app on macOS. Maybe it will even be announced for macOS, and then they will say this is also available on iPhone and iPad. You know, whichever platform they show it off for first doesn't really matter, but that seems to be the deal with macOS nowadays.
All right, so
it's a very mature platform, so it's understandable.
Yeah. So let's lump those in then. iPadOS, or if iOS gets a control center revamp, does the rest of the operating systems get that?
Maybe not macOS, but iPadOS, I think, certainly would.
I'm kind of torn on how I feel about the control center in macOS, honestly. And then and maybe the notification thing becomes a, you know, I know that was a wish list item, but that would be nice. I don't know. There's really not a whole lot to talk about when it comes to macOS. And iPadOS is basically a rehash of everything that we just mentioned. It is possible that we get lock screen customizations for iPadOS 17 this year?
Yeah, so bringing over some of those features that were introduced last year, I think that makes sense. Even things like the ability to have more control over wallpapers, these sorts of things that happened last year. And the other thing that was announced with iPadOS last year was desktop class apps and these new experiences for, which we forget about now, but things like the revamped contacts app, and the files app also got some of these enhancements. The calendar app also started to support basic things like copy and paste commands with a keyboard. So I think that maybe what we'll see with iPadOS is just that we'll hear this phrase desktop class apps again, and we will see an expansion that starts to bring out iPadOS as its own thing a little bit more, especially if XROS, as we are led to believe, will run iPadOS apps. So that's where the whole Logic Pro and Final Cut Pro thing comes into it as well, is that whatever they show for iPadOS probably will also be indirectly for XROS.
What about, I'm trying to think of for external display support and stage manager. I mean, we got to see some improvements there, but probably nothing major in terms of like a new feature added to it.
There's a lot of things they could do with Stage Manager. I think that they've had obviously a lot of time to think about how Stage Manager should work. And I think that everyone will be extremely pleased if they said, we've listened to you. Yeah. We've had Stage Manager out in the wild. And they sometimes like to say that they've been listening to feedback. Stage Manager, I think they would get nothing but praise if they say, you know, we've been thinking more about it. And now Stage Manager behaves like this. Now, when you open an app, it doesn't open in a brand new stage. It opens in the existing stage. Just a few little changes like that to behaviors, which are not going to be that complicated for them to do. They just need to decide on what they are. Could really improve the multitasking experience on the iPad and maybe on the headset.
I have a feeling this is going to be one of those events where, like, afterwards you go to the preview page for each like update, and you know, you can click on all features, and that gives you like a full breakdown of all the things that they didn't announce. You're going to find some things where you're like, "What? How did they not talk about that?" Like, that's a pretty cool, like, it's going to be one of those things, because there's just not enough time to go through everything. If there is, in fact, a lot of like little changes that are good quality of life improvements, which is like the phrase that we heard a lot about when it comes to these updates. I think that's pretty good for honestly all of them, even macOS. I don't really think we need to go too far in depth because there's just not a lot of information. The biggest one is watchOS 10. That one's supposed to get the full, and we've done an entire podcast on that, but we can kind of go through quickly here. That's just expected to get like a pretty big redesign. Like watchOS could, or the Apple Watch could kind of change with how we are used to it and know it today. Apple focusing less on apps and more on things at a glance and kind of bringing back, quote, you know, or said glances feature, but like in a different way. So you want to touch on that a little bit?
Yes, so this is the main thing we are expecting. And I suppose the biggest OS release in terms of a redesign, because it looks like Apple is reimagining the purpose of how you interact with the watch itself. So moving to widgets, I think Apple has learned from the success of widgets and widget stacks introduced in iOS 14. And I think that Apple sees the utility of that and the benefit of that on the Apple Watch, and how no one is really going to the Apple Watch app store and downloading a whole bunch of apps and then navigating their watch all the time to get to. Maybe you use like two or three third-party apps on your watch. No one is using dozens of third-party apps. So it makes sense that you move things to be a little bit more based around just quick glances at health information and activity rings and a little bit like complications, but something a little bit deeper like weather. I don't necessarily need to go into a whole weather app every single time I want to check the weather, but I would like a little bit more than just the current temperature. So that's the perfect thing, that on my watch face, I can maybe press the digital crown, and then there will be an overlay that appears over my watch face that has different cards that I can swipe through, and those cards have information that would otherwise be displayed in apps. I'd be really happy with that, because this has been one of my biggest complaints about the Apple Watch for several years.
Yeah, I mean, it's been the same, largely the same for like 10, well, not 10 years. It's been around since what, 2014, 2015? 2015.
Yeah, announced in 2014.
Right. So, I mean, since its announcement, it's basically been kind of the same. And so, yeah, I'm excited for like any kind of redesign whatsoever. And I think the glances thing makes sense. Like I said, when I've used like the Pixel Watch or Samsung's Galaxy Watch, like they kind of have the ability to rotate the little dial or the actual watch face, like the perimeter itself, with some of the older Galaxy Watches. I don't know if they still do that. It's been a while. But you can kind of like turn the circular perimeter there and like go through some of these like glanceable widgets and things that you have. I don't know how it's going to be, but that is a much better kind of way to integrate data at a much, because you're right, no one's using apps. I mean, very rarely are you. How often do you open up a third-party app on your watch?
Almost never. I do have some installed, but yeah. I couldn't, if you asked me what ones I've got installed, I'd literally have to go and check to see what they are. But I'm sure there's been like one time a year when I'm like checking the tracking information for an Apple delivery, and I can go to the Apple Store third-party app because I don't have my phone nearby, and I can check the status of the delivery. Right. Or, you know, even just general deliveries apps. So that is one maybe where it's slightly more useful. But that also could just be a glance, right? That doesn't need to be a whole app. So I like this direction. I think this is really sensible.
I'd argue that almost all of it could be an app. Or not an app, a glance. Like, I don't need, you know, we just need little bits. You know, for one thing I'm thinking of would be like the Tesla app is, you know, just some sort of way to unlock the car and maybe turn on climate and just quick things, or just see what my battery percentage is. I don't need a whole app for it. I mean, that's kind of what Apple Watch apps are, but they're just, some of them are,
but then
pretty poorly
they're
designed.
Presented as apps. You can't do much in them, especially now 3D Touch has been removed as well. So you don't have that many dimensions with which you can interact with the app. And the thing that just bugs me the most, and I will not be sad to see the back of this, is the way that even in list view, it's just such a long list to scroll through the apps. It annoys me to no end. So I have to hold my wrist up for goodness knows how long and go through this alphabetical list and just work out where what I want to get to is. And maybe only some apps this makes sense for. So Things 3, that maybe should be an app. But does everything else need to be a push? That could just be like a quick entry glance. Or maybe there's just two glances, one for quick entry and one for seeing your today view. But whole app, I don't know. It just, I'm not sold on the idea of apps on a device that you don't sit and use. You have your arm raised, which is not a comfortable position to be in for more than, you know, 5 to 10 seconds at a time.
How do you feel like it's going to integrate with the headset?
Oh, wow. Honestly, I couldn't say. Yeah. I think that maybe it won't at all is the answer. Because if they are using LiDAR scanners and they are using multiple cameras that are facing downward to track your hand movements, they ultimately are not going to be able to track anything from the hand that you don't wear, the wrist that you don't wear an Apple Watch on. So maybe it won't do very much at all. I think that what we will get in terms of interaction with the other OSs will be things like keyboard entry. So a little bit like with the Apple TV, how it pops up to enter text on your iPhone or your iPad. That's the sort of integration I think we will see with the headset.
You don't think there'd be like an integration with health and metrics and things like that?
Maybe you'll get your activity rings. If you do a Fitness Plus workout in the headset, the watch is obviously going to be useful. But nothing fancy, I'd say. Nothing that would seem out of the ordinary. But who knows? I mean, Apple surprised us with stuff like Universal Control before, which was a really innovative, almost an obvious thing, but no one saw it coming. And people are still spellbound by that demo of Universal Control. So maybe they can pull something else out. A little bit like that. I always like to see that sort of thing that does show a bridge between multiple devices, because it really opens up this unique ecosystem advantage that Apple has.
One of my most watched TikToks was the Universal Control one. It is just mind-blowing how well it works.
Yeah.
So, all right. I mean, that's pretty much watchOS in a nutshell. There's just kind of a lot of like changes that are going to be happening, but mostly just the way we interact with it. The look of it is probably going to remain the same when it comes to like your watch face. But then when you start to go beyond that is where things will change. So it's going to take some time probably to get used to, but I think it's all for the better. And I think Hartley agrees with that. But do you have anything that you're hoping for? Last minute, I don't know, like last minute things you think might creep in to the WWDC as a whole, not watchOS 10, but like the entire event?
That's really tricky.
Anything unexpected by chance?
There's nothing that I think is likely, but what I would like to see, I suppose, that would be unexpected to me is a larger emphasis on iPadOS. Because I still, like many people, try the iPad out every few months and try and get some work done on the iPad. And it still is too much of a struggle So if they actually, this is a whole separate discussion specific to iPadOS, but if they could provide things, even like if open up a lot of these things to third parties, like allowing me to have a launcher app on the iPad, that would make it a lot more productive. I just mentioned Stage Manager as well. I think even the lock screen will be better, but notifications need to be rethought. If Apple really reconsidered and was happy to make substantial changes to iPadOS, I'm not suggesting making it into the Mac because I don't want that either, but that would be something I wouldn't expect. I'm not expecting it to happen, but I would be very pleased if it would happen. I don't think it's implausible. It's just how far they're going to go. What about
If what if Apple came out and did 20 minutes on the podcast app and all of its improvements? How happy would you be?
I'd be happy with that. I actually use Apple Podcasts again now. So I'm a little bit up on Apple Podcasts at the moment, but there's always room for improvement. And it's always, this is the thing, we've said it before, with Apple's first party apps, I don't just want all the third party apps to disappear. But I also kind of do want some of those third party features. So say with podcasts, I want the ability to have more granular control over speed. But then maybe I should use a third party app for that. I would like more features in reminders. I'd like the ability to be able to set a recurring reminder from the point of completion rather than on a fixed date. But then what would things three be for? So it's always that tension. But what are you expecting? What's the unexpected thing that you would like to see that is not completely fanciful? You can't say universal notification.
Okay, I honestly don't know. I think everything that I don't know if there's going to be anything unexpected at this point. I asked the question and I have absolutely no answer for this. I didn't think you were going to ask me again. and then you took away the one that I was on the top of my head. So
it's because it's the most obvious thing that needs to happen at the point, right? I mean, at this point, we could almost do a whole podcast just on universal notifications. But I think we should conclude by going back to the headset because that is the big thing. And I would say that the thing I am most hoping for out of the whole event is that I want the headset, I like the headset, and it is better than I am expecting. I don't want to be disappointed after all of this hype, after all of this enthusiasm. I have high hopes, I want them to be surpassed, and I want to be genuinely enthusiastic about this because there's so many questions around this device. I want to be blown away by it. There's not many times when I settle down to an Apple event and expect to be blown away. I expect to be blown away at this one, so I hope I'm not disappointed.
I also expect to be blown away. And I kind of feel like I will be just because my experience with VR in the past has been very, if I could quote all of you youngsters out there, it's been very mid. God, I feel so old just even saying that. That was so lame. Anyways, it just feels very mediocre. And I mean, Apple's always been good at making products, making me feel like I need something and making me eventually go out and buy something. I don't think Apple's ever failed, which is very sad for my wallet and for my personality. I feel like Apple has come out with a new product. I never wore watches before in my life, and now I've worn one every day nearly for the last 8 years, okay? So, think about that. I've never once thought, I need a watch today. I just look at my phone or I look at a clock, and then Apple has made me realize I need a watch, which sounds so bad. But in my mind, I just can't imagine I'm going to walk away not being impressed or excited. So that's my expectations as well. I have very high hopes, and I think they're going to deliver. I really do.
I think that's a good point to end on.
Cool. Well, follow MacRumors.com. We have the live blog. We'll be up and running, so you guys, if you can't watch it over on Apple's website or Apple's YouTube channel, you can follow along via text and photos from the event. But also, I will be there, as I mentioned earlier. I will have whatever hands-on, whatever information I can deliver will be from there. So, subscribe to the channel, and we will be doing a podcast probably a lot earlier than you will expect. So that's all. Just keep it at that. It'll probably come out earlier than normal. So just make sure to follow. And with that one said, happy WWDC for everybody, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
These days, I can do anything from my phone. Book a vacation, order a meal from a five-star restaurant, buy and trade stocks. But maybe the most amazing thing I can do is make my dirty laundry disappear and then reappear perfectly washed and folded. I have Rinse to thank for that. I just schedule a pickup in the Rinse app or at Rinse.com. A Rinse valet comes to get my clothes, and before I know it, they're back, crisply folded and ready to wear. They even do dry cleaning, which is returned hanging in a nice Rinse garment bag. And with Rinse, my satisfaction is guaranteed. If for any reason I'm not happy, they'll re-clean my clothes for free. Best of all, Rinse saves me tons of time each week. That's time I get to do something I love versus something I have to do. So if you want to save loads of time by not doing loads of laundry, remember, there's an app for that. Rinse. Sign up now and get $20 off your first order at Rinse.com. That's Rinse.com.